WPR Rebuttal on the air. Welcome to WPR Rebuttal, covering a side of the story missed by Wisconsin Public Radio, bringing narratives the UW System Board of Regents won't allow, and shedding light on perspectives the owners of WPR don't want you to hear. I am your host, Senator JPO. We have a bombshell of a story today, and that is the Senate of the state of Wisconsin is proposing Wisconsin Merit Scholarships. And these would be the first state-funded scholarships as opposed to needs-based grants. Because the Higher Education Accessibility Board, WEAB, already does these grants, but they're not scholarships. There's a big difference in that scholarships are merit-based, which they define merit as academic ability, whereas the grants are need-based, as established by one's family income. So, with those definitions out in the open, I just want to say the proposal is Senate Bill 700. If you were reading WPR.org, you notice that they do not have the bill text or a hyperlink to the proposal or even the bill number. But I went and I found it, and it took some trial and error, because to find these bills, you often have to go to web address bar, and you have to just enter in these numbers in sequence. Like, here's a good example. Here's how I found the text of Senate Bill 700. Okay, so you go to docs.legis.wisconsin.gov, and then you go to acts, and then it takes you to this page where you have an overhead menu, and then it says Wisconsin State Legislature up top. And the acts are things that are already done, but you don't want the acts that are already done. You want the proposals that are not already done. So what you do is you you click on assembly and then the session, okay? And then once you're at the session page of the assembly, then you go to the left column, because the right side is just like a big photo of the chamber. That's supposed to be WISCI, but when they're not in session, there won't be a video. When they are in session, be prepared for a big stream video, which you can bypass that with the instructions. In fact, I'll do a whole special on how to find bill numbers, because it's counterintuitive. It's not like you can just open up a web page and then browse. Like, oh, no, you have to actually go and type stuff into address bar, and it's very esoteric. But, and then, so you open the bill text of just any bill, right? And there you go, because you will not find the bill you're looking for in the sidebar 90% of the time. You will not find it because they don't list all the bills there. It just lists the bills that have a second reading. So get to the bills that have a first reading, they don't show those. That's where typing stuff in the address bar comes in. So the way I did it is I went and I just started at the assembly bill numbers that are in a low triple digits, like 100. And then you go like 101 in the address bar, 102 in the address bar, and keep on searching until you find the one that has the subject matter that you're looking for. And guess what? There is no assembly bill pertaining to the Wisconsin Merit Scholarships. There is none. So I went over to the Senate session page. I opened up one of their Senate bill proposals in the webpage, and of course, that was the one that had second reading, so I had to go and look for the ones that had a first reading, which meant back to the address bar. So it turns out there are about seven times as many Senate bills in the 2017-2018 session as in the assembly, which is really amazing, because I think the assembly bill numbers have a manageable caseload, but the Senate bill numbers, there's so many of these, you know that they've already mostly made their decisions, because if they were to actually deliberate on most of these bills, there's no way they'd be up into the 700 digits by now. I mean, level 700 bills, I mean, come on. They're almost in the four digits by the time they're going to adjourn. I mean, they'll be up to bill number 1,000 by April, by the rate they're going here. But okay, so I finally found it by trial and error, typing three-digit numbers in the bar, incrementally going up. I opened a bill that was like SB600, and I just kept on. I looked at the date. So when I saw that, oh, SB600, that's only going back as far as, well, what's the date here? So SB600 is from November 30th, okay? And I'm like, well, I decided to jump forward in increments of 20. So SB620, that was in December 7th, and then so on. So pretty much every 20 bills spans like 7, 8, maybe 9 days. So like between a week and a half, the Senate is going to vote on 20 different bills, but they actually don't meet for an entire day. In times of the actual work day, it's more like 3 days of work, maybe 2.5 days of work in order to cover 20 bills. So when searching for bills that way, that's something you have to remember, is that you're going to have to jump ahead about 20 bills in order to get to the next week of legislation. So here I am, Senate Bill 700, introduced January 19th, 2018. And you know the odd thing about that is that the article on this on WPR says January 17th. And yet the Senate Bill 700 is January 19th. That tells me that Laurel White, the WPR writer for an article that brought this stuff to my attention, thanks, Laurel, but he actually had inside information in order to be able to report on it 2 days before the stuff was introduced. So that's kind of interesting. And who likely gave Mr. Laurel White this insider information a few days in advance before the bill actually went to its first reading? Well, it's probably legislative aid. That's usually how it's done. But bottom line is that I have the bill text in front of me. I'm going to read it for my audience here. And Senate Bill 700, introduced on January 19th, 2018, by Senators Nass, Craig, Fayen, and LeMahieu, co-sponsored by Representatives August, Sanfilippo, Anderson, Ed Brooks, Petrick, Edming, Felskowski, Stefan, Rodriguez, Ducho, Schrenel, Summerfield, Tauschen, R. Brooks, which I know Ed Brooks is Representative R. Brooks. I'd have to look up his or her name later, probably Robert Brooks. But Senator Quinn, Horlacher, Murphy, Jock, Hutton, Teasfeld, and Tussler, and refer to Committee on Government Operations, Technology, and Consumer Protection. Okay, so essentially, if you have any comments on the Wisconsin Mayor Scholarship Program, you go to the Committee on Government Operations, Technology, and Consumer Protection, which I'd have to look them up because I've not seen too much publicity about them, but I know how to find them. And you have to just click on Senate and then click on committees, and I'll take you to the link. And then you'll find the senators who are on that committee. And I actually should also have some assembly reps too, because these are joint committees usually. More often than not. In fact, just to double check here. So here we are. Committees, Senate. I'm checking in real time here. Yes. That's what it is. It is a Senate Committee on Government Operations, Technology, and Consumer Protection. And the members of that are Senator Strabel, who's the chair of the committee, Craig, who's the vice chair, Kapenga, Wirch, and Carpenter. They're listed in that order on the page. It's a Senate-only committee, and only 5 members. But, yeah, these are the people you want to lobby if you have any comments on Wisconsin Merit Scholarship Programs. In alphabetical order, they are Senators Carpenter, Craig, Kapenga, Strabel, and Wirch. Okay. So back to the bill text, an act to amend 20.285 and the title of, actually just the title of the bill, yes, the title of 20.285, the title of 36.49 of Wisconsin statutes, and also that of 36.49 number 3, the content of 36.49 letter 3. Okay, so it's going to create the UW system merit scholarships. Now, summary is, okay, the analysis by Legislative Reference Bureau, that's a summary. Anytime the LRB chimes in, that's a summary. It's not a fiscal impact statement. It's just a description of the aspirations of the bill. And these scholarships will be $5,000 each. It does not say how many people will receive these. It does not say how many instances these $5,000 scholarships will be created. So I guess that'll be determined later on. But okay, so for a state fiscal estimate, it's not yet prepared. It will be printed as an appendix to this bill. And the Senate, calling themselves the people of the state of Wisconsin, represent the Senate Assembly, do an act as follows. 20.285.1 of the statutes is amended to read, environmental program grants of scholarships, semicolon, Wisconsin merit scholarships. So there's two types of, actually three types. There's the merit scholarships, and then there's the environmental scholarships, and there's the environmental grants. And then the next title to be amended is 36.49. Well, same thing. It just updated the title. So you have the merit scholarships, and you have the environmental scholarships, and you have the environmental grants. Now, here come the meat and potatoes. 36.49, number 3, subsection 3 of the chapter 36.49 will be amended to read, provide $300,000 of the UW Stevens Point for environmental programs. And that's just for Stevens Point. That's a whole separate thing. That's for environmental programs, which include their grants and their scholarships specifically for environmental studies. With that $300,000 set aside for UW Stevens Point environmental studies, now we have also 36.49. Number 4 of Wisconsin statutes is created. It did not exist previously. Number 4 of that section is created. Award the balance or remainder in annual scholarships to be called Wisconsin Merit Scholarships, which shall be based only on merit, to students who are enrolled in an institution or college campus and have either graduated from high school in this state of Wisconsin, or been granted a high school diploma by an administrator of a home-based private educational program, as defined in Section 115.001, Number 3G in this state. So that 115 part, that's just statutorily defining a home-based private educational program, which is comparable to a high school for the sake of awarding a diploma, because the recipient of Wisconsin Merit Scholarship must be an in-state student who had graduated from a high school or homeschool equivalent within the state of Wisconsin. So those who are seeking tuition reciprocity from Minnesota, Iowa, or wherever, and they want to come in and get one of these merit scholarships, No, it's only for us, only for those who grew up here, or at the very least, technically, if you didn't grow up here, but you graduated from high school here in your senior year, technically, yeah, you would be eligible for a merit scholarship. So if you're plotting and scheming to go and take more from Wisconsin than you bring to it, well, that's what you have to do. It's just move here during your senior year of high school, graduate here from Wisconsin High School, and then you can be eligible for a merit scholarship. But I tell you, and this brings me into a comment here, okay? Just my first comment on this is that, yeah, UW Stevens Point gets $300,000, but the number of $5,000 Wisconsin Merit Scholarships to all the rest of UW schools, that's going to be determined by whatever is left over from all these other scholarships, which is kind of weird because it's kind of like a paradox. If there are no scholarships funded by a state yet, and the statute reads that you have the merit scholarships will be the balance of something that did not exist. I mean, that's kind of like, that is dividing by zero. You get an undefined number. So really, the number of state tax dollars appropriated to Wisconsin merit scholarships is undefined because you have the balance remainder of zero. So you have division by zero, essentially, in order to determine how many of those $5,000 scholarships will be appointed, because a remainder of zero divided by $5,000 is zero, which means that the legislature will have to appropriate specifically for scholarships. So this only creates the category, folks. This is not actually appropriate for scholarships. You see how nuanced that can be? But yeah, that's how most state legislators work. And I know that's how the federal Congress works as well. And it's all based on the same model, is that first you create the potential for appropriation by creating a statutory category, and then you appropriate later on. So there are a few different hurdles in the political process over which the actual funding can stumble. So now let's get to the public comments. Yes, and we got through the pedantic portion. Now we get to the fun portion of this broadcast here. Okay, so according to a Laurel White WPR article, proposal would create first state funding system marriage scholarships. Okay, so we have TJ Cool, senior at Highland High School, spoke in support of the measure. And he was on record as saying, this bill will give the UW system another tool to reduce brain drain in our state. Someone who's currently in high school, I would look forward to applying for a scholarship, and it would influence where I go to school. Now, okay, get this, though. Okay, according to Laurel White, this TJ Cool person is deciding whether to attend Princeton, like, that's a no-brainer, go over there, TJ, or stay in Wisconsin to go to UW-Madison. Now, if TJ Cool had any economic sense, he would say, hey, forget that $5,000. I'm going to Princeton University because Princeton is Ivy League. UW-Madison is not. UW-Madison is just a pretty good state school. And if you look at the CEOs and just the general profile, the national profile of Princeton versus UW-Madison, there is no contest. And, okay, so what's another comment from, so TJ Cool said, in order to reduce the brain drain. And I said, well, you need just, students can matriculate and spend 4 to 8 years, however long they want to pursue their education, and stay out of full-time workforce. You need more than just a glorified gap decade in one's life in order to keep people here, because why do they people end up moving away for better jobs? So if you don't have the better jobs here after I graduate, you'll still have the brain drain. You'll just be delaying the brain drain, kicking the can down the line, and that's a poor way to do it, because why have these unproductive people who are doing the full-time college, right? They're unproductive. They're not working full-time. They're just doing part-time work, if anything, and a lot of them are just self-sabotaging because they won't be eligible for unemployment benefits as full-time students. So they're choosing to handicap themselves while they think that they're giving themselves a superpower. They're actually kicking out their own legs from beneath their own feet, unfortunately. But I'm here with WPR Rebel to give you the truth about it, and that's why the Board of Regents would not allow this narrative on WPR proper. That's the gift of WPR rebuttal. You hear another side of the story that the official narrative would not allow. Okay, so again, I'm not here to go and diss TJ Cool because he's a high school kid whose entire life is revolved around academics. I'm here to say that arguing that these scholarships are supposed to reduce brain drain is misguided because they don't provide you with sustainable jobs that will keep the graduates here. You might attract a few more students who might become graduates, but those graduates will tend to gravitate to whoever is offering them a decent job. And sometimes it's not always in here. And in order to really get that question, to solve that riddle, we need to have a study as called for by the petition, How Are My School's College Grads Doing? And I had a podcast on that late last year. So if you want more information on that, just go in the backlog for December in the archives, and you'll see that petition being promoted on this podcast. Okay, so at some point in your life, you stop being a full-time student, and you need to start working full-time. This means we need knowledge economy jobs, not just more opportunities to educate ourselves and more debt, not just more opportunities to deprive ourselves of full-time availability for work. And if you want to recruit more college students, all it means is that we'll have more grads competing against each other for scarcer opportunities. And that's self-defeating. And that's why Wisconsin Marriage Scholarships really won't help our state in the long run. course, none of his followers TJ Cool until he ends up in my situation as Senator JPO and realizes that jobs are what matters more than education. Okay, so on the account by Ben Giles, and W. Power describes him as a recent graduate of UW-Madison who still lives in Wisconsin, but it does not say what he does for a living. Okay, so he spoke in support, and he said, well, I was a high-achieving high school student. Scholarship would have been something to keep me here instead of going out of state for my freshman year. And we want to keep our best and brightest here and working. Now, of course, the guy who says that doesn't have a job that he's willing to tell the Wisconsin legislator that he's going to disclose to WPR. So this guy has some dead-end, crummy job, and yet he's talking about the best and brightest staying in the state. I mean, come on, what does Ben Giles actually do for a living? Does he wait tables, tend bar, stock shelves at Walmart, work himself perhaps at a grading some factory? I mean, WPR admitted details. And finally, we have Frank Rojas, which I don't know what Frank Rojas does for a living, but he essentially was trying to oppose my comments in the WPR article, but he failed miserably. In fact, I schooled Frank Rojas by pointing out that Babcock Hall sells ice cream year-round. Well, them selling the ice cream year-round is actually a loss because partial cost recovery does not mean it's profitable. It's actually a net loss for Babcock Hall to holding these ice cream sales year-round. And finally, I just want to say that I could not find any real background for Ben Giles or Frank Rojas. They don't have a LinkedIn profile. So, okay, well, that's been all the information that we can cover. So I'm going to sign off. But, hey, thanks for touching base again, and I look forward to another great week. So take care.